الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Just before the announcement is made on behalf of Men Organization, Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor and a privilege for our masjid and for our community. We have, Alhamdulillah, world-renowned scholar Sheikh Sulaiman Mullah of South Africa. Inshallah, after the dua, Sheikh will give a talk. All brothers are humbly requested to participate. Inshallah, will be very beneficial. Inshallah, jo hai, hamare mehmaan khususi Maulana Sulaiman Mullah sahab damat barakatuhum South Africa se tashrif laaye hue hain. Inshallah, dua ke baad Hazrat ki takreer hogi. Tamam hazrat se guzarish hai ki is babarkat majlis mein zarur shirkat kare. Inshallah, bahut fayda hoga. Inshallah, brother.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك الحرام واغننا بفضلك عما سواك. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم انا نسالك ايمانا مستقيما وفضلا دائما ونذرا رحمه وعلما نافعا وعقلا كاملا وقلبا منورا وتوفيقا احسانا وتوبه نصوحا وصبرا جميلا واجرا عظيما ولسانا ذاكرا وبدنا صابرا ورزقا واسعا وسعيا مشكورا وذنبا مغفورا وعملا مقبولا ودعاء مستجابا وجنة الفردوس نعيما. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. It gives me great pleasure to be with my Warsaw brothers and sisters who some are watching online, some in present in person here today to be with you as part of this incredible tour organized by MEND Muslim Engagement and Development with مولانا مفتي شيخ سليمان مولا حفظه الله who's come all the way from South Africa to be part of a tour entitled لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not grieve, for indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. My name is Abdullah Saif, and I'm the head of community engagement for MEND, Muslim Engagement and Development. And my brothers and those listening online, what I'm going to tell you today about our organization isn't necessarily a pitch that you would normally hear during Ramadan, where there are countless causes that stand before you today and have been over the past few nights, seeking humanitarian assistance for Gaza and abroad, seeking assistance for the establishment of masajid, seeking assistance for da'wah projects and things like this, as noteworthy and as important as they are. Our organization is not like that. Our organization, my brothers and sisters, focuses solely on you and our community here in the UK to protect you from a threat that has been around for a while and is growing in intensity, and everything that comes out of that threat. And that threat is Islamophobia, is this hatred that is growing in our midst because of no other issue than we are Muslim. And this climate has generated a lot of problems for our community, from cradle to grave. Brothers, what would you do if your child came home and he said, Baba, I've got this book. It's called The Two Princes. Primary school kid. He's got this book called The Two Princes. And it's trying to indoctrinate your child about relationships. You know where I'm going with this. What would you as a parent do? How would you respond to that situation? Would you know how to respond to the school? Would you know how to engage with other parents to organize? Do you even think you have any rights? How about if you're, and this is, subhanAllah, this incident of this whole indoctrination happened right here, 2.5 years ago, not even that, subhanAllah, in Wood Green Academy, right here on your doorstep. Do you remember? Allahu Akbar. And there, the izzah of Islam shone through our children, Allahu Akbar, who were able to stand and say to the teachers, what you're teaching us is wrong, or what you're declaring is wrong. And walillahi alhamd, you know, Mufti Muhid, mashaAllah, and Mawlana Ibrahim Isakji, and so many others, Muhammad Arif and others, and ourselves as men, we came and supported to see what we can do to support the parents, to tackle the school, to make sure that our rights, our children's rights, our parents' rights aren't foregone. And we organized and we did the work, and it was long and arduous and it got heavy and difficult. But one of the assistances that we were able to provide was legal support. Free legal support from an entity that exists today for one purpose, which is to give you and our community free legal support should you be discriminated for no other issue other than your faith. And walillahi alhamd, the work that would have totaled thousands was done for free because of your support for organizations like this. But then your child grows up and they have to go to school, and they're baligh now in the secondary school and they have to pray. But then your child comes home and says, Baba, I can't pray. They don't let me pray in school. They're telling me it's not a place for worship. Stories we've heard countless times in this country, and cases that we're getting to this day. I've got an issue dealing with a grammar school in Birmingham last week, all of last week I'm dealing with because of this. But we have an example of success because we're able to support. We have a school in the north where a mother called Mend saying, I don't know where to turn. My son came home saying, Mama, you taught me that I have to pray whenever the time for Salah came. It comes in school, I have to pray, but I'm banned from praying in school. But these children, just like the amazing children of ours in Wood Green Academy, they took their musalla, their janamas, and they prayed in the playground. They said, we have to pray. But the school were adamant saying, you can't do this. The teacher stood in front of them while they were praying, saying, trying to stop them from praying. The mother called saying, I don't know what to do. Who do I turn to? And we said, we've got your back. And walillahi alhamd, after negotiation with the school, not only did they offer a prayer room for the children, walillahi alhamd, they offered a designated time for Jum'ah Salah every Friday in that same school that banned them from praying in that school. Allahu Akbar. Takbir. Takbir. This isn't a humanitarian cause in that sense, but it's a lived experience that's happening today. And you grow on. Remember, this is a cradle to grave issue. We're only at puberty now. Imagine you're growing now and you want to go to work. You need to practice your faith. This is an incumbent thing. And we have cases of discrimination happening on a daily basis. In fact, we had a call in from a sister who attempted suicide twice because of discrimination that she suffered at the hands of her employer. Twice, wal'iyadu billah. You can't imagine the headspace someone has to be in to go through that particular turmoil. But alhamdulillah, because we had established the Islamophobia Response Unit, which is now an independent charity, and it is providing free legal support, which means that any one of you who is discriminated, not just at work, at school, wherever it is, because of your faith, there is a legal service provided to protect you for free with some of the best lawyers this country has, for free, walillahi alhamd. And walillahi alhamd, they took on that sister's case and they won, and she got over £60,000 in compensation, and they had to apologize and all these things. And walillahi alhamd, takbir, takbir. This is a cradle to grave issue. This week, On the BBC website, there was the 5-year anniversary of COVID. Remember COVID? Oh my adraka ma COVID, right? Remember that? Lockdown, spaces, all this stuff. The government did not know what to do. And, you know, there's debate about whether they still know what to do. But the government didn't know what to do at that time. What do we do with this whole fiasco? In fact, people were dying. And subhanAllah, some of the first shuhada of COVID era were Muslim doctors. Some of the first shuhada of the COVID era were Muslim doctors who said, I'm not going home, I'm sticking on the front line to protect these people. But the government was scratching their head thinking, what do we do with these people who've died from COVID, this thing we don't know about? Ah, I know. Let's cremate them. Anyone who dies from COVID, cremate. And so there was a proposed bill to go through Parliament, to be ratified in Parliament, that was going to get signed off by Parliament, to say, anyone who dies from COVID, cremate. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And so we got together, because this is our job. We got together with other Muslim organizers and Jewish community as well, saying this isn't allowed in our Sharia, in our way. And so we lobbied and we got the exemption to make sure that any Muslim who dies from COVID isn't cremated. Allahu Akbar wa illahi alhamd. Takbir. Is this worth your support? Is this cause worth your support? My brothers, those watching, my sisters, times are changing. Times are changing. There is a mood that is sweeping across the UK, across Europe, and across the world, where the far right are gaining in popularity, where nationalism, this far right nationalism, is increasing in popularity, where there is a look at you as the immigrant, and you especially as the Muslim, to say, you're the problem, we need to deal with you. And I'm not scaring you, I'm not putting this on you to scare you, this is the lived reality. We have the child of Nazi Germany in the AfD party in Germany winning 20% of the vote. These people who are doing the salute and all that kind of stuff and walking very brazenly with swastikas are the 20% of the German parliament. In France, you got Marine Le Pen, the nationalist party, who actually won, but because they couldn't form a government, they're not the government of the day. And here we have the rise of reform and the rise of Tommy Robinson's lot. This is the mood that we're in. This is the climate that we're in. And so we as a community have to be strong, have to be audacious, and have to stand up to say, we are not going to wait for you to hand over our rights. We're going to stand up for them ourselves. And that's what we're about as an organization. MEND is dedicated to protect you. MEND is dedicated to stand up for you. MEND is dedicated to empower you. Especially in the realms of politics and media. These two spheres of change that cause so much drama for us. And if we get involved in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will reward this effort. And if we don't, then the statement of Mawlana Abu Bakr al-Nadwi rahimahullah, who said, you know, nowadays people are praying, mashallah, 5 daily prayers, and they're praying their tahajjud very openly. But if we don't, and this is his word, this is his phrase or his statement, paraphrased, if you don't get into politics, if you don't get involved in the realms where your rights are protected, then it will not be that they will stop you from tahajjud, even your salah will be impacted. We're seeing now in France masajid closed. We're seeing in France the hijab and the niqab banned. Like, it's round the corner. وَمَا فَرَنْسَ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. It's only there. You can get the Eurostar and be there in 3 hours. You can get on the plane, you'll be there in an hour. It's only there. And slowly but surely, that rhetoric is what wins votes. And so we cannot be at the receiving end. Why? Because the command of Allah is, لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Don't cause oppression and don't be oppressed. And if the command is don't be oppressed, Allah is demanding of us to show an effort before Allah, before anything else, that we will not take this oppression. And so for us as an entity, as an organization, your support is vital. Your support and your assistance, and we will take the political flak, because doing this work, organizing our community, doesn't come without risks. It doesn't. But as an entity, we're willing to take them on. You know why? First and foremost, inshallah, it's because we're sincere. And secondly, it's then when we look back, even though the attacks are coming, we see our community behind us saying, Bismillah, go, we got you back. Don't worry. And walillahi alhamd, we've always had our communities back. And every Ramadan, mashallah, when we do an appeal, and when new drama kicks off, the masajid are first and foremost the place to say, listen, you come to protect us, of course we've got your back. And the congregation, the musallis, they say, you're here to protect my children when they're going to space. Well, I don't know how to play this game, but you know, bismillah, you've got my support. You're going to protect my daughter when she goes to work and discriminated against because of her hijab. Don't worry, I've got your back. Politically, we have to show strength. Politically, we have to show organization. And politically, we have to show understanding. And our job as an entity, as MEND, is there to be for you, my brothers and sisters. And this is our job in the face of this difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the ummah of Muhammad that you will be tested. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. You will surely be tested in your family, in your faith, and in yourselves. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. And you will certainly come across harm from those who disbelieve. You certainly will, Allah says. And this harm today, this word adha, we use the word Islamophobia for it today. But it's the same thing. Hatred and dealing with you in a negative way, in a discriminatory way, for no other crime except that you're Muslim. But Allah doesn't leave us hanging like that. Allah doesn't leave us in the lurch. Because the Qur'an is a guidance for every occasion. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزِمِ الْأُمُورِ. If you show sabr and taqwa, that is the best course of action. But what is sabr and what is taqwa? Sabr is a reaction, how you react to an adversity. Sabr, الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى. Sabr is at the first moment of calamity, when a masjid is attacked, when a khatib is targeted, when the commission come for this person or that person. Are you going to show solidarity? Are you going to show patience? That's what we are there for. When your children are targeted in the schools, we're there to show solidarity. That's the first response. And the second is taqwa. Taqwa isn't just mindfulness of Allah, but it is wiqaya. It is protection. It is the proactive stance that you take. How will you shape yourselves? How will you organize yourselves so that in the inevitable attack that comes, the inevitable harm that comes, the inevitable Islamophobia that comes your way, how are you protected? I've made an alliance there. I've placed my, I've put my eggs in that basket. I've made a connection with that counselor. I know how to address the media. You've done your wiqaya. You're protecting yourself. And that is the best course of action. And so we are here for you. As we need you for our assistance, we are there for you. We are 100% independent. We are 100% community funded. And that means that we can't be bought by anyone because we're owned by you. What your concerns are our concerns. What your concerns are our concerns. And so, because I'm standing in between you and the Shaykh, and we are in the moment before, in the last part of the Jum'ah, where your du'as are mustajab, and this is a very blessed time. I want to open the floor for pledges. I've got our volunteers here, and I'm going to be quick with this, but I'm going to be very targeted. I'm going to ask, who here can support this work for £1,000? Who can raise £1,000? Allahu Akbar! We have here, takbir! We have another here, Sufyan. But Allahu Akbar, illa ilhamd. Any other hand for £1,000? That was a child, so I wanted to make sure. Allahu Akbar, we have a third here, £1,000. Okay, just keep your hands up. If the person hasn't come to you, then we'll come to you, inshallah. Is there a fourth for £1,000 to support this work? Is there a fourth person who can give £1,000, or you can donate monthly, £84 a month, as a standing order, but £1,000? Who can give £1,000? Sorry? Go on, what did you say? Yeah.
What was that? Brothers, alhamdulillah, I had the pleasure of being at an event with MEND a few months ago. And Dr. Hani Al-Banna, who is the founder of Islamic Relief, and he actually made a statement which is quite profound. He said if he was to start again, he would prioritize this work rather than the work of what a lot of the charities are doing and other places. We've got a doctor locally, Dr. Israel Haq. He did 3 visits to Gaza last year, alhamdulillah, 3 deployments. If you listen to him talk, the Gazans are blaming their plight on us. The reason they're blaming their plight on us is because they said, we haven't done anything about Islamophobia in this country to tackle it. That should be reason enough for us to support this as much as possible, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum. Is there a fourth for 1,000? We have 3, Allahu Akbar. We're going to move down, inshallah, to 500. Can we see the first hand for £500? Can we see the first hand for £1,000? We saw the hands come up quick for 1,000, but please, can we have someone for £500? Is there anyone here who can give £500? Please raise your hands, barakallahu feekum. Khair, inshallah, we'll move down for the sake of time. £250. Is there anyone who can give £250? Support this cause, to support your family, to support your community, to be there for you in that moment of need. In that moment of need, who is there for £250? Takbir. Hamza, خلفك. Takbir. Kabbiru. Takbir. Allahu Akbar, ilahi alhamd. Is there another for £250? Is there another hand for £250? Are you closing the door? Anyone who strikes, you know, moves their hat or shakes their beard, or, you know, gives them a little shake. Is that your nose, yeah? Okay. £250? Any hand for £250? Another hand for £250? We can do this, brothers. It's just a case of where your intentions are, inshallah, and where you see the value. This is valuable work, not because I work for this organization, because independent of me, this is the fight that we have to fight. This is the struggle that we have to make. Is there a hand for £250? Please raise your hands. You can do it, donate anonymously, obviously. Brothers, I'm going to move down to £100. £100. I want to see hands come up, inshallah, for this important work. Allahu Akbar. The first hand, you can get it ready and it will be tapped. Hamza, oh, you're just doing something there. Yeah? Just here. Barakallahu feek. Another hand. Another £100? Is there another £100, brothers? I have one there, another here. Is there another one for £100? We can do this. This work is vital. This work is for you. This work isn't for us. It's work for you. It's not a glamorous thing. I can't give you a photo with, you know, a food pack or anything like this. This is the lobbying work that happens. This is about getting into the media spaces, getting into Sky News, getting into the BBC, writing the articles and correcting the lies. This is the stuff that we get involved in as well. Is there £100? Can we see more hands for £100? Can we get 5? We've got 2. Can we get 3 more? Can we get 3 more for £100? Can we get 3 more for £100? Who's going to give us the third one? We've got 2. Come on, let's do the witr. Get the third. Who can get the odd one? Allahu Akbar, ilahi alhamd. We've got a brother here. Allahu Akbar. Can we flow? Can we flow for another 2? Khair, inshallah. We're going to go down to £50. And this is going to be the last ask. £50. Allahu Akbar. Hamza, just over here. Keep your hands up, inshallah, until the volunteer comes. Just here, inshallah. We've got the first £50. Can we get another £50, inshallah? It's a simple tap. You won't even feel it. Barakallahu feek. Sufyan, you got 1 and 2 there. Allahu Akbar, we've got 3. You can get another one. 5, 4 in front of me as well. If you keep your hand up, inshallah. Just be mindful, my brothers, that this is sadaqah and lillah only. It's not zakah eligible. Be mindful that this is not zakah eligible. This is sadaqah and lillah only. So we've got 4, inshallah. Hamza, okay. Keep your hands up if the brothers haven't come to you. So we've got 4, we've got 5. Anyone else? 6. Allahu Akbar, just in front of you there. Can we get to 10? Just 4 more. 4 more, and then I'll say my final peace and go. Which one? Come on. 4 more. Can we get 4 more £50? He's counted. 4 more £50. Can we get someone from this side? £50. Allahu Akbar. Hamza, you take care of this side, but keep your hands up. Keep your hands up so the brother can see you just right there, Sufyan. Yeah. 2 more. £50. Allahu Akbar. And just keep your hands up. Barakallahu feekum. Please go. Do not miss the opportunity to give. Barakallahu feekum. Ikhwani, my brothers, this is noble work that inshallah will count heavy on your scales of good deeds. Because when you support this work, you're doing something noble. The Prophet ﷺ talked about the one who walks in the hands of his brother when he's in that moment of need. And no one counts that need or knows it because it's not glamorous in front of the screens. When someone says, my kids can't pray. When someone says, I'm discriminated at work. But you donating to this effort is you walking in the hands of your brother or sister who's in their time of need. And when you are there at their time of need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in your need when your time comes. So barakallahu feekum, give what you can today. Do not leave today without giving something. Some of you might have a penny in your pocket, give it. Some might have a tenner, give it. If you got whatever you think, just tap the card and give something. This work is for you. So barakallahu feekum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your effort. In this moment, this final moment of Jum'ah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts, to use us for his faith and not replace us, and to use us for what pleases him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all in this masjid. And I hand over to Shaykhana Sulaiman.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers, just before the Sheikh starts, there's a number of cars blocking 113 car park. If you're in the middle in 113 car park, can you please reverse the cars out? There's a brother who needs to go urgently. Jazakallah khairan.
الحمد لله الذي خلق الخلق ليعبدوه وحبب إليهم الإيمان ليذكروه وأسبغ عليهم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة ليشكروه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الذين صحبوه ونصروه إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور صدق الله العظيم. I came across a very profound quotation, and maybe it could set the tone of the brief address that we have in this very blessed sacred moments of Jum'ah. Someone said, كنا رعاة غنم. When you look back at the history of the Muslims pre-Islam, then you would realize we were shepherds to flock. We were shepherds to flock. Kunna ru'ata ghanamin. Faja'a al-Islam. And then Islam came. Fa'asbahna ru'ata umamin. Then we became the leaders of nations. Fatarakna al-Islam. Fa'asbahna ghanam tar'ana al-umam. Sadly, then we abandoned Islam and we didn't become the shepherds to flock. We became the flock and the entire world is ruling us. We were shepherds to flock. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was one day walking and a whisper came into him. Umar, you great, you the giant, you the legend. These people's finger was on the pulse. As soon as they got the whisper, immediately they took action to deflate the ego. Sadly, when we get whispers, we amplify it. We want people to... Did you say you had a dream about me, brother? He was saying... When somebody whispers something good about us, we want amplification. We want to run with it. Ibn Uyayna rahimahullah said that man arafa nafsahu lam yadhurruhu al-madhu. If you know yourself properly, no amount of praise can inflate you or make you conceited. يَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ مُدِحَ أَنْ يَتَوَاضَعْ وَأَنْ يَذْكُرْ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنْ عُيُوبٍ سَتَرَهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. The ulama say, whenever anyone praises you, the immediate reaction to deflate that arrogance is reflect over your wrong, which is unknown to people. So this person who's praising you, immediately just go down and he says, if he knew this, he wouldn't have been saying what he's saying. And the truth of that is, the simple thing is, my wife knows me more than others, my children know me more than others, yet they do not know me in my totality, and really would you ever hear them praising me? The Prophet ﷺ was not only praised by his companions, by Allah, he was praised by his spouses the most. That speaks what volume on the character and the akhlaq of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he received this revelation, the first place he came was Khadija radiallahu anha. And the first moral support he got was from Khadija radiallahu anha. Kalla la yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah will never forsake you. Innaka latasilu rahim. You join ties. and you help the needy and the destitute. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. So, كُنَّا رُعَاتَ غَنَمْ. We were the shepherds to flock of sheep. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was walking, as I said, and then a whisper came into him, "You are great, O Umar." Immediately he gathered everyone in the masjid. And by the way, to be a shepherd, there's nothing wrong to it. In fact, every Nabi was a shepherd. Someone said, "Mulak kuch is tarah se badalne laga." Mulak kuch is tarah se badalne laga ke log gaayen bhees ko charane mein aar mehsoos karte hain aur kutte ko ghumane mein fakhr mehsoos karte hain. Mulak kuch is tarah se badalne laga. This is the evolving nature of the world, that it's an insult to be a shepherd to a flock, but to walk your dog around the corner is a sense of pride. Aaj log apno ko to jalate hai aur kutto ko dafnate hai. Apno ko to jalate hai aur kutto ko dafnate hai. What a world we live in. So Sayyidina Umar gathered everyone in the masjid, and then he said to the people, there was a time in my life where I was a shepherd, and I used to take the sheep and I used to graze the sheep, and in the evening they would give me a handful of dates. فَيَقْبَذْنَ لِي الْقَبْضَ. Then I would take those dates, eat it, and that was my compensation and my remuneration for the day. So now everybody is like, we left our chores, our engagements, we assembled, we congregated, we converged, only to hear that Umar was a shepherd. But who's going to dare say this to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? So Abdurrahman ibn Auf was there. He said, عِبْتَ نَفْسَكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, with respect to your seniority, I mean, you know, people were engaged, we mobilized, we called them as salatu jami'a. They come here only to learn that you were a shepherd. He said, while I was walking, a whisper came into me, أَنْتَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَنْ ذَا أَفْضَلْ مِنْكَ. Umar, you're great, you're a giant, you're a legend. And I needed to strike at that time. And I'm sorry if I've taken up your time, but I've deflated my ego. The ulama say, the human ego hankers for prominence and fame and prestige more than it hankers for wealth. The salikin say, in the journey of suluk, when you tread in the path of spirituality, as you try and eliminate all spiritual maladies, if you're lucky, just before death, the last thing that might leave you would be the crave of fame. Did you hear what I said? When you make suluk, you tread the path of internal spirituality, right? And then you gradually eliminate one evil after the other. And may Allah make us to be on that path where we're trying to be conscious, of our illnesses. Because, like I always use the analogy, I say that, excuse the pun and the phrase, humans are tolerant to themselves, and unfortunately, their tolerance levels withers away with others. So here's a simple context. You could be in the loo, in the lavatory, and you could be passing stool and feces and defecating. You never get offended by the stench of your own feces. You never offended. But if somebody else has to even release wind, you need cross ventilation. So my brother, you don't know how your character and your behavior is giving off such an odor and a foul smell. And you are in a position and I'm in a position when nobody can dare tell us. Once you've reached that point in your life where nobody can tell you, now you dig a hole from which you cannot be rescued. I say this in my talks, and many find it to be hilarious, but this is my own reflection. I say there are two types of people. One type is such who cannot be told. He's got narcissistic traits in him. He's wrapped up in himself. He's very obstinate and arrogant. Imam Ghazali said, the reflection of pride is al-istinkaf min an yuradda kalamuhu, aversion to the contradiction of his sentiment. So he cannot accept a counter opinion to his view. That's a sign of pride. I don't want to go into academics. In juristic language, the jurists, the fuqaha, who go deep into the text, who go deep into the text and then they deduce rulings. Their view used to be قولي صواب يحتمل الخطأ وقول المخالف خطأ يحتمل الصواب. The words of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. This was the view. So you can read the text. Scholars will know what I'm saying here. My view, my ruling, my understanding, my conclusion, my deduction is correct with the possibility that I erred. And the counter opinion is incorrect with the possibility of it being correct. But there is nothing as hatmiyat, an absolute. That is Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam is absolute. So you have a category of people amongst us who cannot be told. They go into a flight of rage. However, they can be told that they can't be told. If you, I hope it's not getting too much. You know, in English they say, he who knows not and knows not, he knows not, he is a fool, abstain from him. He who knows but knows not, he knows, he is a wise man, seek him. You have some people, he who knows not and knows not, he knows not. In Arabic terminology, we call it jahl murakkab. Jahl murakkab. You know, you're ignorant and you're ignorant about the fact that you're ignorant. Every time people tell me, you're studying so long, you're teaching so long, you're speaking so long, what have you learned? And I say to them one thing, I have learned thoroughly that I don't know. So before studying, I was ignorant, but I was ignorant on the fact that I was ignorant. I didn't realize it. The more I started studying, I don't even know this. I don't even know this. I don't even know this. So my ignorance got exposed more and more. And the more you study, the more you realize how little you know. And the more you travel in the world, the more you learn to appreciate the khidmat of others, and the more you trivialize your own. But if you're sitting in one place, you'll only magnify your own actions. And then you have the second category of people who cannot be told, and they cannot be told that they can't be told. So in other words, if you tell him, he'll get snubbed off, he'll get offended, he'll get violated. And dare you tell him that, you know what, even your boss said, even your better half said, even your sibling said, even your neighbor said, that you know what, you're a then the roof will fall. Pharaoh was deviant. Yet he claimed that he brought people on guidance. May Allah save us from that level of dropping. وَأَضَلَّ فِرْعَوْنُ قَوْمَهُ وَمَا هَدَى. Allah said he went astray and he didn't guide his people. Yet he told his people, مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. Listen, this is how I look at things and this is my understanding. So may Allah save us from pride and arrogance. I just wanted to touch on something very important. That was a preamble, but time has gone by. So, in Islam, there is a message of understanding the balance between tawakkul and tadbir. And this is something very key and important. And often, the lines get blurred, or the understanding is not in place. So we've been taught, adopt a plan, have a strategy, apply your mind, but don't rely on the strategy, rely on Allah. And relying on Allah is not negating the adoption of strategy. And you would find sometimes a person advocating strategy exclusively, and then you would find at times a person advocating tawakkul exclusively. And if you study the nusus, you will realize that the correct understanding of nusus, if you make tatabbu' of the nusus, you will realize it is adopt the means and put your reliance on Allah. Now, let me give you some context too. That there's so many incidents, but whatever time allows us, we can just run through it quickly. And the effort of the brothers that we just spoke about is the aspect of adopting strategy, adopting a plan. So the Prophet, the narration is in Tirmidhi. It's even mentioned in Ma'rif al-Quran under this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, that الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله this and حسبنا الله in Marif al-Quran and the reference of Tirmidhi is there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two companions had some dispute and some difference of opinion, and then they brought their matter to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who looked into the matter, and then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his judgment. And of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's judgment was flawless, was impeccable, absolute, perfectly fine, divine guidance from the Almighty. So the companion radiyallahu anhum, against whom the verdict was passed, he said, Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me, Allah is sufficient for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come here, read the narration, I gave you the context and you can read it. Inna Allah yalumu ala al-ajzi. Allah dislikes that a person Allah dislikes inaction. Allah dislikes inaction, where there is no planning, no strategy, no movement. You are just sitting helpless, feeble, and you're not doing anything. Walakin alayka bil case. Walakin alayka bil case. But it is upon you to try, to endeavor, to toil, to apply your mind, to adopt all the measures. فَإِذَا غَلَبَكَ أَمْرٌ فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. And after trying everything what is within your means, you don't get the outcome of what you anticipated, then that is the correct application and recitation of the dua, Allah is sufficient for me. Our deen is so beautiful and balanced. Taqdeer is a very, very delicate and intricate article of faith. But for a believer, it allows him to move on. You can close chapters and move on. Because if you don't believe in taqdeer, then you would always be rewinding the past and undoing it. Now, again, the hadith of Sahih Muslim, and that's the message, I thought, in context to the encouragement of what the appeal that was made, give an objective reflection at the same time, which addresses this issue in all aspects of our life, that as Muslims, we need to be proactive, so listen, my son, drive slowly, be a law-abiding citizen, and that's the teachings of Islam. The ulama have written that violation of the rule of the road, which is there to bring safety, security on the road, is not only a breach to the regulation of the country, but it is a breach to your faith as well. It is a breach to your faith as well, because Islam teaches you to live as a dignified citizen. Islam teaches you to live as an upright person, and a rule and a law that's in place is there to bring discipline on the road. You know, I often say in my talks, we are living in a world where you have to remind people on the basics. And the analogy I give, if somebody comes to me and says, I'm a new driver on the road, what's your advice? I'll tell him, look on the road when driving. It's like, you're kidding me, what do you mean? Yes, I'm saying, when you're driving, look on the road. Because we are so consumed, we are so preoccupied, we're not living the moment. We're not living the moment. One of the causes of our depression today in the world is we're not in the moment. There was a write-up of a psychologist, a child psychologist, who did a study on a child's mind, and it was quite intriguing and fascinating that why is it that the child has so much stamina that he can burn everyone out and yet he's still got energy? And that's quite common. A child plays, if you're doing the simple playing, if it happens, because today children are so tied up. And somebody asked me the other day, I did a program on youth, and they asked me the question, what is the right age to give a child a phone? I said, there's no right age, delay it for as long as it's possible. There's no right age. It's inevitable, it's real, we're living in the world. Khalid Baig's article on technology is one of the most brilliant write-ups I've ever read. We are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation. In one sentence, we are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation. So leave the phone to get rid of the curses. But then all the blessings are gone. My Salah notifications, my daily reminders, my Quran recitation, my this app, my that app. Okay, then keep it for the blessings. Oops, but then this pops up, then that comes up, and then this reflection comes in. How often you get onto the phone And then 15 minutes later, you're asking yourself, but why did I hold my, what was I supposed to do? The distraction is so much. So anyway, I was telling you about this child psychologist, this article, in which he said, why is it that children have strength so much? And the finding and the article and the research was as follows, that when a child is playing, then he plays in the moment optimally. He's full soaked, drenched in the moment. So if it's now post Asr, you know what, tomorrow being school and after Maghrib being homework and this, that would happen afterwards. He's playing in the moment. So he's got mental strength, he's got physical strength, his entire body. Whereas the average adult is regretting the past, planning the future and trying to be present. That is why he is so exhausted in the moment. That's the reality of what we are living in. So I was saying to you that Islamic teachings are that we need to. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alayka bil kays." In the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that take all precautions in life. Take all precautions in life, and after something does not happen as it went your way, then don't say if. Don't say if. Listen to this, it's a very key advice. After it's all over, a tragedy happened, a setback happened, a difficulty happened, don't say if. Because the utterance of the word if will open up the doors for devilish indoctrination. I have counseled tens of hundreds of people, and each one of them have told me when I go for counseling,
sorry to disturb the talk. Can the brothers, owners of FY16VUH and DY67FAY, that's FY16VUH and DY67FAY, can you please move your car? The brothers have been waiting for half an hour to try and go. Please, Jazakallah.
You know, I've actually developed a talk on these parenthetical interjections. Unrelated interjections. I have a talk on this here because in my 25 years of career, I don't know, probably it makes up a full 1.5 hour of the amount of time I have been disturbed. It's a sad reality. It's a hadith of Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, do this. And he said, if I can't do this, he said, takuffu sharraka anin nas fa innaha sadaqatun minka ala nafsik. Then you know what, O Mu'adh, just don't cause people pain and you'll be in charity all the time. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani writes in Fathul Bari that we learn from this that أَنَّ الْكَفَّ عَنِ الشَّرِّ دَاخِلٌ فِي فِعْلِ الْإِنسَانِ وَكَسْبِهِ حَتَّى يُؤْجَرْ عَلَيْهِ وَيُعَاقَبْ غَيْرَ أَنَّ الثَّوَابَ لَا يَحْصُلُ مَعَ الْكَفِّ إِلَّا مَعَ النِّيَّةِ وَالْقَصْدِ لَا مَعَ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالذُّهُولِ. Look at the academics. We learn from this that a believer is not only in action when he's physically executing, but he's actually in action when he is stationary as well. However, the qualifying context to that is, if he's just sitting neutral without any intention behind it, then he won't be in reward or in sin. But if he consciously, for example, you come into the masjid and you just park in a parking bay because it's an assigned parking bay and you park there, that's it. So then you did your due diligence and that's about it. But if you said, no, you know what? I can't park here, but there's a ramp here for paraplegic. And you know what? I might be long in the masjid. Kids will want to play. Let me do this. Let me park there. Then this man's reward started from the time he parked his car. Hafiz ibn Hajar, under the hadith of Bukhari, you can read it yourself. May Allah grant us the ability to be conscious. Amir bin Abdullah Tamimi was the distinguished student of Abu Musa Ash'ari. I just mentioned one reflection. One of the people of Basra said, I traveled with him by night and I had heard a lot about this man. So when it came to night, فَلَمَّا أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا اللَّيْلِ نَزَلْنَا بِغَيْضَةٍ. We halted at a place where there were dense trees. So I observed this man. جَمَعَ عَامِرٌ مَتَاعَهُ رَبَطَ فَرَّصَهُ طَوَّلَ لَهُ زِمَامَهُ جَمَعَ لَهُ مِنْ حَشَائِشِ الْأَرْضِ مَا يُشْبِعُهُ وَطَرَحَهُ أَمَامَهُ ثُمَّ دَخَلَ الْغَيْضَةَ وَأَوْغَلَ فِيهَا. Yeah. He said, as night fell and everybody wanted to retire to their camp, I observed this man wanted to engage in prayer. But before getting into prayer, he first attended to the comfort of the horse and the conveyance that he was riding. To quote the words, رَبَطَ عَامِرٌ فَرَسَهُ. He tied his horse. طَوَّلَ لَهُ زِمَامَهُ. He extended the rein to give the animal space to graze around freely. جَمَعَ لَهُ مِنْ حَشَائِشِ الْأَرْضِ مَا يُشْبِعْهُ. Then he gathered some exclusive herbs and fodder and some greenery, and he brought it there. Then he presented water. When the animal that he was riding was attended to, now he went to attend to his ibadat. We just come and double park and then we want to make it in the masjid. It's counterproductive. A group, okay, I'm going to go into this discussion here now. Let's just rather speak what we were speaking. So I was saying to you, the Prophet ﷺ said, after something has happened, don't say if, after it has happened, because that will open the doors for devilish indoctrination. The devil is going to tell you this and this and this. So the point I am saying here, there was a young man, because I do marriage counseling for the last 25 years, and I don't envy myself for it, because it's not something enviable. But anyway, three, and then the fourth marriage broke up. After the fourth marriage broke up, tell you, things are tough, man. The women of today are not easy. I say, it's your fourth marriage breaking up. Is the finger still being pointed in the opposite direction? I don't know who was on the other half of things, and I don't know what's the merits and the context to each of that union that got dissolved. But I mean, at some point, is it not time to look at your own self as well and introspect and ask yourself, is my action in place? So Islam is about having good planning, having good planning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la aqla kattadbir wa la wara kalkaf. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no act of intelligence better than good planning. And there is no greater act of piety than abstinence from sin. The other day, my dad, may Allah preserve him with goodness, he often shares advice on our family group. He's 81. You know, he was saying to us this beginning of Ramadan, he said, Alhamdulillah, I started fasting at the age of 9. So this is my 71st year of fast. Alhamdulillah. Well, what a sense of joy. May Allah preserve them with goodness. May Allah allow us to take du'as from them. So he said to us, he said, my children, well, let me share two advices of his. He said, in my 80 years, I've discovered the secret to happiness is to make others happy. And the cause of depression is when you're waiting for others to make you happy. He didn't greet me, he didn't acknowledge me, he didn't retweet, he didn't like, he didn't share, he didn't say anything. I walked in, I was waiting for some sense, and nobody said anything. You know, when you're waiting in anticipation, that the world has gone different, right? Before, we kept a diary, and it was private. And what the English proverb is, keep a diary and it will keep you after your death. And it was private. And today, you post it on social media, and if people don't share it, you get offended. You know, so that's how the world is. So anyway, that was the first advice. But the second advice that I wanted to share, he said, the secret to health and deen is that if you stay away from the bad food, you will enjoy better health than eating the wrong things and trying to supplement it with the vitamins. So if a person, and that's what the world is, go with intermittent fasting and, you know what, have your vitamins and boost this. And I also take these things, so I'm guilty. The English proverb is very profound. Eat your food like medication, or else you will eat your medication like food. Eat your food like medication. So it's not what I like, it's what I need. If we were designed by that, I had heard once a program on a radio talk station where they were talking about healthy eating, and the conclusion of the whole talk was that even a child at birth, if you were to make an impression on the subconscious mind of the child, eat healthy, eat organic, eat GMO free, eat natural, you know what, just making subconscious impressions on the mind of that child, and the child starts registering, because today they would tell you, even ultrasonically, when a child, a fetus, is developing in the, you know, in that embryo stage, the child responds to that machine, etc. So the child, nowadays scientifically, I mean, you know, nowadays when you go for a checkup, I mean, my children told me what the grandchildren Allah's given me, and that's when we heard. But I know when we were having children, all they tell you, that's the end. Now they say when you do the sonar, they say, oh, the baby is yawning. What's the definition of a yawn? The only time a married man gets to open his mouth. Okay. We're hopping all over. So anyway, they were saying this here. Let me wrap up. We're very close to time here. That if you make an impression on that mind of the child from birth, this radio show was saying, and then when the child comes at the age of 3, exposure to 1 billboard daily of fast food wipes out the effect of 3 years subtle impressions on the subconscious mind of the child within 3 months. This is the scientific data. You can verify it or argue against it. I'm purely quoting what it is, because, you know, this is the world in which we live. So Islam teaches you that you have reliance on Allah and you put your plan in place. So here's one reflection and we end. When the Prophet ﷺ was on the journey of Hijrah, and of course the enemy came to the mouth of the cave, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sensed it. And that's the name of the tour, La Tahzan, don't fear, Allah is with us. Right? Allah is with us doesn't mean you won't be tested. In the verse of the Quran, in chapter 13, Juz 13, Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. By virtue of faith, Allah says, He'll keep you firm and anchored on your faith. So sometimes people say, but I'm a Muslim, why is this happening to me? Well, Allah said, because you're a Muslim, is going to test you. And everybody's going to be tested. But by virtue of your faith, you're going to stay firm. How many times a person said, if I didn't have Iman, I don't know what I would have done. If I didn't have Iman, I don't know what I would have done. You know, I'm going through challenges in my marriage. Not me, I'm happily married. But people would say, I would have committed zina. Or my son, may Allah make it easy, he's on drugs, this happening. Oh, I tell you, sometimes I just feel, if you can stop the world, I want to get off. But you can't stop the world. And you, what happened? No, there's an akhirat, there's an Allah. So Allah says, by virtue of Iman, it keeps you firm. It's a life riddled with challenges, but Iman is there to balance you, to hold you, to rescue you. So when the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave, and the enemy came to the mouth of the cave, and the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, مَظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. Abu Bakr, what's the panic of two, the third of whom is Allah? So I say, Allah is with you. That doesn't mean you're not going to be tested. Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam lost Yusuf when he was young. And he was close by in a well. But Yaqub alayhi salam had no clue of where his son was. He, of course, through his vision knew that your tale and your story is a lie and it's fabricated. Fast forward, some narrations say 40 years, some narrations say 80 years. He says, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. If you don't think I'm old and frail and senile and I'm blurting, I'm telling you I can get the fragrance and the scent of my son Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Now, the ulama asked the question, at this point, Yusuf alayhi salam was the distance of 21 day journey. Yaqub alayhi salam was so much older. Was it that his smelling sense became stronger? Obviously not. But rather it was the duration that Allah had decreed for the test had now ended. This was the time that Allah had decreed that Allah is going to test. And I say to the youth, your mother made dua, Allah will accept it. That doesn't mean the test will go away. In the end, you will see the results you're waiting for. But how long that test will be, that only Allah knows. That only Allah knows. Aisha radiallahu anha was accused. You can't get a greater woman in Islam than Aisha radiallahu anha. She was accused. Allah knew she was innocent. She knew she was innocent. وَقَدْ لَبِثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَهْرًا لَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ بِشَيْءٍ. But 1 month, no revelation came down. This was a test from Allah. The 1 month in which revelation did not come, the munafiq element exploited the pause of revelation and gave momentum to their narrative and their agenda and their propaganda. And they started saying, yeah, I'm telling you, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Allah could have revealed the innocence and the exoneration of Aisha radiallahu anha immediately. But it was the wisdom of Allah, and it was the test of Allah, and that was 1 month. وَمَا ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِأَنَّ الْأُمُورَ مَرْهُونَةٌ بِأَوْقَاتِهَا. Everything is fixed to a time. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the cave and the enemy came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comforted Abu Bakr, Allah is with us. Having comforted Abu Bakr, he didn't abandon the plan and exit the cave. He remained in the cave. But he didn't say the cave is safe. He said, Allah is with us, so we're okay. But having comforted him that Allah is with us, he kept the plan in place. And this is the balance that we need. May Allah grant us the correct balance. This is a time of dua. Let us engage in this dua. We ask Allah that it is the moment of istijaba for us, and that Allah accepts all our duas, inshallah. What time is azan exactly? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى واسمك الأعظم. O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah, you have described yourself as Hamid, worthy of praise. You have declared yourself in the Quran as سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. All the creatures in the heavens and the earth praise you. You have told us in the Quran, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, that rocks fall out of your fear. You have told us in the Quran, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything glorifies you, O Allah, but it is human weakness that we cannot comprehend your greatness. You have told us in the Quran, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Every creature intrinsically knows how to praise you and glorify you. O Allah, we ask you at this blessed sacred moment, on this day of Jum'ah, in this blessed month of Ramadan, O Allah, in the second Ashra in which du'as are accepted, Allah, everyone listening here, viewing here, sitting here, has a thousand and tens of thousands of needs, O Allah. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنِ. Allah, you know what we conceal and you know what we reveal. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing is hidden from you. O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah, we beg, we beseech, and we implore you, accept all our du'as, O Allah. O Allah, accept all our du'as, O Allah. O Allah, you have declared in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Your magnanimity is absolute. Nobody can contradict your statement. Nobody can challenge your opinion. And besides you, everyone will be challenged and interrogated, O Allah. Allah, you have declared in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِ, that people decide and it gets overrided and somebody else overrides. But nobody can override your decision. O Allah, we ask you through your unilateral powers and your unlimited treasures, Allah, as you have told us that إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِنْ نَفَادٍ. Your treasures do not cease. They are everlasting. They are perpetual. They are inexhaustible, Allah. Allah, some are crying for health, grant them health. Some are crying for wealth, grant them wealth. Some are crying for partners, grant them partners. Some are crying for children, bless them with children. Some are crying for unity, grant them unity, O Allah. O Allah, you remove the difficulty and the agony from our brethren in Gaza, O Allah. O Allah, you send upon them rahmat and ease and afiyah. رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. O Allah, you send them divine food and drink, O Allah. وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
افطار کا وقت ہو چکا ہے بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم اللہم لک صمت و بک آمنت و علیک توکلت و علی رزقک افطرت و تقبل منی Thank you.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله الله أكبر الله الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإن من أهل الكتاب لمن يؤمن بالله وما أنزل إليكم وما أنزل إليهم خاشعين لله لا يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا أولئك لهم أجرهم عند ربهم إن الله سريع الحساب يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك، أمسينا وأمسى الملك لله رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير هذه الليلة، فتحها ونصرها ونورها وبركتها وهداها، ونعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما فيها وشر ما بعدها. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا إليك المصير. برحمة.